Hey, this is Liz.
And this is Heather.
This week, we are diving back into our 2020 is a dumpster fire, part three, the election episode.
All right, hit that music. Know if you guys remember, but back in February we thought a lot of weird shit's happening in 2020, and so we had an episode called 2020 is a dumpster fire.
Yep.
That was not the low point of 2020. It did not go up from there, and as you can tell, we are now in part three of 2020 is a dumpster fire, and it is November.
Yes, we had to do our third quarter check-in. This is also our election edition. So yes,
it's the election special. Now, I feel that 2020 dumpster fire will continue to 2021.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Because there is no line. There's no end in sight. And it's November. In fact, okay, let's check in on COVID. Yep. COVID is worse now than it was when we first witnessed it, than when we had a resurgence in July or so. And now it's worse than all of that.
I don't even know that it was such a resurgence in July as it was. It just kept going. Like the numbers never stopped. It was just they'd exploded again, I guess, after, I guess that would be resurgence. But it
after Texas was like, we're fine, we're going to reopen.
Yes,
we meanwhile, did that. I'm sitting here with my, you know, haven't gone to a salon since November. So my state is serious lockdown. They're like, you know, we don't give no fucks. You are not going out.
Yeah, we're pretty much, I was talking to Paul the other day. I was like, we're pretty much business as usual. Like, I'm not understanding why some of the restaurants are still on a abbreviated menu because everybody around here, at least, and maybe I don't know where they get their distributions from, but yeah, I'm like, there's just everybody's doing their thing, but they're wearing masks, I will say.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I would say most places I go, the only people I see who aren't doing this is grumpy old white guy. That's just it.
We know the anti-maskers are anti-science, but then they find science to help them with their cause. Now, their science is absolutely bullshit. First of all, it assumes that you actually can't breathe through the mask, which is not true because we'd all be passed out on the streets, right?
And your doctor could never perform your surgery. We've talked about this.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we've already talked about this. You know what? It's just stupid. So you go and read stuff about you can't breathe in your own carbon dioxide. Okay, fine. You're not breathing in just your own carbon dioxide. You're also getting some oxygen in there. But you know what? I think actually the oxygen to your brain ship has sailed quite a while ago. So it really doesn't matter if you're wearing a fucking mask or not.
I think these people are just outing themselves as people who've never had a sexual relationship in their life. Because if you can't breathe in close quarters with other humans, then...
you know, there's... Have I mentioned this before? I can't remember. That there's like this old school of thought that if you have a plant in your bedroom, it will suck the breath out of you while you sleep.
Or cats. Cats do.
Oh, cats. Well, cats definitely do that. I mean, if they had the ability, they would definitely do that. But like, at least cats breathe oxygen.
It's the whole point of the plant in your home is supposed to be the exchange of carbon dioxide for oxygen. Like, that's what they breathe in. They give us oxygen. We breathe out what they need. They breathe in. What? Like,
I know.
It's not a fucking carbon filter, folks.
It's so funny. I mean, anyway, there's all kinds of things. So I just love it when people like who are just blatantly not believing in science go and find this pseudoscience or like an old wives tale, you know, to.
Or some bimbo who, you know, was on a show one time who decides to tell the world things.
Oh, well. Okay. So we've had a terrible year. So what has happened new since the last check-in, which was, I can't even remember, midsummer?
July, I think.
Fall has sprung. The trees have turned.
Not here.
Not really. You're not here. But But, you know,
I was like, you guys were having a heat wave at one point.
I know.
To the point where it was like traffic cones are melting in the street. It was like September.
Yeah, yes, I know. And then, yeah, on Friday it was 90 and today it's like 57. This is Texas weather, y'all. It's crazy.
Texas bipolar weather is bonkers. And we have been since June in the fucking hurricane season that will not end. A hurricane season runs from June 1st to November 30th. In my lifetime, I really don't remember. I mean, maybe once we got like the hint of a tropical storm, like the first week in November. We have had so many storms, named storms, in the Atlantic this year, in the Gulf, that we are now like halfway through the Greek alphabet.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I think, what is it, that there's like 9 or 10 of them have actually hit the Gulf. Like, they've actually made landfall, which
as a hurricane.
Which is absolutely like unprecedented. Like, since they started recording this history of hurricanes and weather patterns in like 1863, it's never happened. So good job, 2020. You have blown all expectations out of the water and a couple of people's houses down more than once. So,
oh, I know. And like, there was a point in which New Orleans, like every two weeks,
yeah,
3 times in a row, they had a full-fledged hurricane come and they had to evacuate.
Oh, y'all, I felt so terrible. I have a friend, her name is Liz, and she does a podcast that's called Are You Afraid of the Park? Because she's a park ranger, which is kind of cool. She moved, it was like July or August, moved to Baton Rouge, lived in the South before, and like just pounded. And, you know, they hit that, it was like a week or two before that very first one hit that was so bad. Now I don't even remember their names, Laura, I guess. And it just like they were had to be evacuated for a long time. And then I guess their house was all jacked up. So they moved here to Houston, where, you know, nearby where her brother lives. And then we got a storm come through. It was just like, okay, I love you, but you're going to have to leave. Like,
yeah, this is bad luck.
Go somewhere else and, yeah, make that happen. So,
yeah,
oh, no. Sorry. I just got a text from Paul that said Alex Trebek passed away.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't know that you didn't know.
I can't keep up. We lost Sean Connery, which, all right.
Yeah, that was expected. And, you know, yeah, and Alex Trebek 90. A little bit. You know.
Alex Trebek has been sick for a while, so I get that. Chadwick Boseman was a shot in the heart. Just terrible. Like, fuck this year.
I know.
It's like 2016 when we were all like, oh my God, everybody's dying. This is the worst year ever. 2020's like, hold my beer.
So. I know. Oh my God. Yeah, the deaths are really hard. Have been really hard on me this year. So
It's been a mess. And then RBG. Oh my God.
Ugh. Yeah, I can't even talk about RBG.
I know. I wanted to do an episode. You're like, nope.
I can't function. Yeah. Anywho.
So that's hurricane season. It's still going. I believe there is a named storm in the Gulf right now as we are recording.
I mean, it's absolutely bonkers.
And then you guys.
OMG.
So, you're literally living in the dumpster fire. Like, yeah. I don't know what y'all did this year, but.
Yeah. So, you know, in California, they have a Santa Ana winds and they're pretty devastating. And so when they hear about them, they usually tell you, hey, we're going to have these winds. We're going to shut down power because when you have the winds, the land's really dry and it usually starts fires. So if you hear about that, you think your power is going to go out and you kind of prep. Well, our power didn't go out, but there was a fire nearby, pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, this is interesting. We're almost in the evacuation zone.
Right.
And so I'm sitting, you know, working because I'm working from home and following all these tweets and things like that. And all of a sudden, the sky changed color and immediately my phone beeped. It's like, get the fuck out is basically what it said. Mm. It didn't say that. It said it nicer.
It should have.
But basically. And so, of course, you know, the first thing I do is like, yeah, is this real? And so I
go out. Go Google it. So
I go outside and then there's like those fixed wings planes are dropping shit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the thing. And then the sheriff starts coming through. You're in an evacuation zone, people. Stop standing in the street and watching the plane. And so I was like, oh, okay. So now earlier that morning, Irvine got evacuated, which is right near me. And so because of that, I said, I'm got a lot of anxiety, so I'm just going to pack some bags just in case. Thank God I did.
Because you texted me. You're like, I think you're going to have to edit this week's episode because we might have to. I mean, it's probably never going to happen. Yeah. I mean, we might have to evacuate. It's fine. It's fine. I'm like, maybe pack a bag and get out.
Yeah, I had like this row of bags, you know, just in case. Mm-hmm. And they were just done really fast. And under the assumption that I'm just doing this to ease my anxiety. It's never going to happen, blah, blah, blah. So once I realized I definitely had to evacuate, I came onto the computer. I booked a hotel room about an hour down the road, closer to the water. I was like, that's got to be better. And
well, you can always jump in if you, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the idea.
It's like the opposite of how we evacuate here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You go the opposite direction. I was thinking the water would be a better idea than the mountains. So we get in, and as we're driving out, the side of the road is on fire and you can see these flames, and I have video of it. I'll send it to you, Liz, so that you know, now that it's over, you don't have the panic attack when you're watching the video,
right? But I was like, what's happening?
Exactly. Like, now it's over, we had a rain, so we're good. But so I'm looking, and just smoke is just billowing onto the road. That this is the road to get to the freeway, and it's billowing onto the road. By the way, my office directly across the street from these flames, and I'm like, yeah, this is bad. And you can see the flames. Like, normally you see the smoke, you can see the flames, but I think they were back burning. God bless the firefighters. They kicked ass. There was no structural damage in any of my fire, which is impossible.
That's insane.
It was just it's a bunch of suburbs. All you have is freaking wood. You know, exactly. We're up against the mountain. There's an orchard right next to us. Probably a bad idea for picking houses. Anyway, side note.
Right.
But yeah, so we were evacuated. So evacuated day one. All right, fine. Next morning you wake up and fire's mostly gone from the city, but they're showing pictures of hot spots around. And so you can see, okay, we'll probably have to stay another night. So we booked the room for another night. Use up all my points. But had to have a place where the dogs could go. Mm-hmm. By the way, Indiana and Gertrude loved this shit. They were like, hey, when you take me out, I actually get a leash and we go to go walk out. Yay.
Best day ever.
I know. They loved it. Mm-hmm. And so then now we're expecting to get notified that we can go back that night. We couldn't. So we extended it again. Anyway, so Wednesday morning, it seemed like everything was fine. And they kept saying, oh, call in for checkups around this time. So first they call in at 10. 10 says, okay, we'll know at 2. Like, my checkout's at noon. So I call and they said, okay, we can extend it till 2. And so then at 2, they're like, check again a little later. And I was like, yeah. So I go and extend my room one more night. And not 45 minutes after that charge hit my bill, I got notified we could come back.
Right.
But we were at this point where it was just the election all over again. 2 days into it, people were demanding, they were sending hateful messages, let us back into their homes. By the way, still fires around.
It's like,
smoke.
You know what? Okay, go ahead, dummy.
I know. And so they're like,
because you know the fire's not usually what kills you.
Yeah. Oh, there was tons of smoke.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, you want to be at home for that, do you? That, sure.
Anyway, but we finally got to come back. But it did show a lot of the worst of people because they were bitching and moaning and yelling at everybody. Apparently, you have like a quadruple council that decides if people get to go back. And it like has the sheriff in it, the FD, all of the city and all of the local things. And everybody's yelling at the city and they're like, we don't get to make the decision.
Yeah, we have a big task force here that goes into effect anytime the wind blows. So
yeah, and so I mean, I think though when we did come back in, people put signs up. They said welcome home, and you know, people put up video cameras and put them online, even you know, so we could check and see how everything looked. I mean, I thought that everybody was in general good, but there were these bad apples that really just made you kind of just hate people.
That has been such a thing with 2020. Now, listen, there's always been dicks in the world, and we've always spoken out against world dicks, and we're just you know, we're over it. But right now, this year is really bringing out the worst in people. But I will say the silver lining there is that I have really gotten a lot of clarity on who is in my life. And you know, these most of the people are on the periphery and they're not really somebody that I deal with ongoing. It's, you know, a friend from high school or a friend of a friend or, you know, somebody who follows our show has somehow added me. I don't know, whatever. But this has really opened my eyes to people's true motivations and their sense of belief. And I hear people, and we'll talk about this more with the election stuff, but I'm hearing so many people just saying, well, you know, I've never judged anybody, bullshit, on who they vote for. And I'm still friends with people who vote differently than me. I'm like, this is not about politics. This is about a fundamental difference in belief.
Yeah.
And morality and how you see the world. If you think it's okay for kids to be put, you know, torn away from their families and put in cages, you're not the person for me. If you don't understand that what we have built on the southern border is basically a concentration camp and you don't have a problem with it because it doesn't affect your life, we're going to have an issue. If you don't care that Black people are being murdered in the street while we all watch and nobody's stopping it, you are not my friend. This is a problem. Like I, and it's really going to allow me, I think, to drain the swamp, I guess, of my own friend list. Like I just can't.
Yeah. I went through my friend list and was looking at, or I was posting something. I have a whole bunch of people that I hide this shit from because they can't pass an opinion and without commenting on it. And
right.
So I'm like, fuck them. And I was like, why do I even have these people on my friends list? Like, I mean, I think it's fucking ridiculous. And I've decided, I always thought that, you know, you don't want to live in an echo chamber where everybody just kind of agrees with you. Then you're like shocked about what happened.
Right.
But I decided I'm okay with doing that for Facebook. Like Facebook is where I talk and chat to people. There's still Twitter out there. There's still Reddit out there. I still see the shit. So why not cull my feed?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not looking for anyone to echo back everything I believe. But if what you believe makes me feel that you are a terrible human, why would I want to continue to be friends? Like, fine, go do you, do your thing. But I don't want to be a part of it. I actually unfriended two people yesterday who I've known for several years. And I've always been annoyed with these people. And this is something I've seen from a lot of the other side of the aisle, friends and family members that I have, is that they have no problem coming on my page or anywhere else and voicing an opinion that is gross, in my opinion. But for whatever reason, it's very forceful. It's very, this is the way it is, blah, blah, blah. But if somebody were to respond back in kind, it would be very, oh my gosh, how can you be so hateful? Why? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And so that this couple, I don't talk to them otherwise. I have not had a conversation with these people in about 5 years that wasn't due to one of them or the other. Like, I don't follow them. I stopped following them years ago because I found them annoying. But, you know, they're still friends of people and do the things and whatever. But I'm like, I haven't dealt with them in 5 years other than them coming on doing nasty comments. And then yesterday, one of them, you know, did one of these big statements, and then I'm walking out on another very close friend. And I was like, you know what? I just don't need this bullshit in my life anymore. They're not my direct friends. I don't have to deal with them all the time. So you know what? I'm not going to unfollow them anymore. I'm going to unfriend them. Yeah. And I'm like, why am I even keeping up with people who I have to unfollow anyway? But this particular friend went on to then write this big rant on his own page, wife doing similar thing on her page. And I want to read something because a friend of a friend of a friend at this point kind of went in and made a reply. And it was so beautiful. I'm not going to say who did it. And I'm not going to say who the other person is because people listen to shit. But here's the quote. Trump is a white supremacist proto-fascist who instituted a nakedly racist Muslim ban and built concentration camps along southern border, or along our southern border, where, among other Hague-level atrocities, they separated families without remorse. He is a probable racist and, all in all, an irredeemably evil man. I don't believe you to be driven by hate, but in voting for Trump, you committed a racist, homophobic, transphobic, sexist, classist, hateful act. And I hope that one day you have the good sense and moral clarity to feel deep shame for it.
I like that post. I mean,
it's a lot of words, but it really dug into how I've been feeling about things. While you, my friend who voted for that party, let's say in 2016, if you voted for Trump because he was the Republican and you didn't like Hillary and whatever, okay, I don't agree with that because I think he's garbage. However, I can respect that you did that because that's what that is. But we have now had 4 years of nonsense, lies, and deceptions, and all of these other things. I mean, the man has been fucking impeached. Like, the fact that 50% of the country, or close to 50% of the country, still voted for him is like, whoa.
Yeah.
Again, this is not politics anymore, because I saw a lot of Republicans who were like, you know what? I'm a Republican, but I can't do this. I can't vote for this.
So,
and that I respect.
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, so we get in. Now we're talking about the election, okay?
Sorry.
By the way, so during the shows, generally, like, I find an internet quote, sometimes old, sometimes this new. There's been so many beautiful internet quotes over the last week that I have, like, one for every day of the election, at least one, sometimes two.
So, I'm excited.
Yes. And so let me tell you, so election day one.
Actually, before we get into election day one, let's take a quick break and listen to some awesome ads and follow some cool people and do some things. And then we will come right back, because I know if we start, we won't do that. So let's take a quick break.
Hey, do you like movies?
Hey, do you like podcasts?
If you do, then come on down and listen to the Home Video Hustle podcast, homie.
Hustle, hustle.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Well, every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I pick a bunch of movies at random. Sometimes there's a theme to it, sometimes not. PJ picks the movie out, and guess what? We watch it on Friday. We talk about it for about maybe an hour, hour and a half, whatever we feel like doing. Might give you something good to watch, baby. Come on down every Friday.
So come get your hustle on with Home Video Hustle.
You can find the show on any podcatcher app, or you can come down to homevideohustle.popbean.com, all of them in one place for you, so you can go ahead and binge it like it's Netflix. We ain't the defenders, but I like to think we a little bit better than that. Come holler at your boy, man. Come chill with us. Peace.
Peace.
Did you ever go on vacation with your family and hope the dance instructor would fall in love with you?
No, but I did think a guy with a giant boombox playing Peter Gabriel outside my window in the middle of the night meant true and undying love.
Listen to our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, where we revisit these movies and it turns out they weren't the best ideas.
What were we thinking?
You can find our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcatcher.
You can also tweet at us at HEAMCAST, Heamcast.
Okay, we're back.
Yes. So I had read a lot looking up to election day one, and there was going to be concern about a red mirage because a certain president had been invalidating mail-in votes for so long that people decided that voted for him that they were not to be trusted and had to go and vote in person. Hey, fine by me. You know, they're the party of COVID anyway, so whatever.
Right.
We do mail-in votes here in California. Everybody does just about, because they just send you a ballot. They're like, if you want, you can take this ballot to the polling center, or you can use it here. Yeah.
Apparently in Texas, you have to be old or indigent or have a like serious issue to even be issued a mail-in ballot.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. I actually requested an application for a ballot, not even requesting a ballot, application, which did not show up until November 2nd, by the way. Mm. So we vote in person, but we also went, we do early voting. I would, Yeah. Honestly, I've done early voting my entire life. I'll never vote on election day if I have any other options.
So. Yeah. Texas was the first place that I went to that had it. And mm-hmm. I really liked it. And they had it at the grocery store. And the grocery store had a little fast food Chinese joint in it. And so we'd always just go early vote, get Chinese food. That was just our thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's been so much news about how all of the polls are shut down and they've been, you know, closing drop-off centers and all this other stuff. I think they were trying to drop down Houston's to one.
It's they did. Like they 8,000
square miles here. Yo. Yeah. It's a big place. So one? Yeah, I don't think so. But I'll tell you about privilege and white privilege where I live here in the burbs. We had 6 polling places in my town, mm-hmm. in the actual city in which I live, there were 6 of them.
Which is a tiny city. Like, I mean,
it is small. Yeah. I mean, we probably have 50,000 people or so, but hello.
Yeah. It's not a big enough city.
No,
to,
this is just a very.
Well, I mean, 6 is good. I mean, that means that everybody has access to it. So tell me about the second part of the question.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, again, you know, people in my area are like, well, there's no problem with voting. We've got all these, we've got 6 places. We've got all these places you can go. You can go to the, like on the main drag that runs, you know, close to my neighborhood. We had a place at the elementary school about half a mile down the road at the College of the Mainland outlet. And then a little bit further down than that at the courthouse annex, like, within a 2-mile radius, we had 3 different polling sites. So that looks, you know, for me, that's normal. We're used to seeing that. But that is not what is happening in lower income and historically, you know, places where people of color are. That is what we are talking about. It's this voter suppression where it's like, oh, well, it's not all polling places. But enough. I mean, again, I thought about this way too late, but I really want to do it next time because I'm blown away by the record number of people that we've had come out to vote this year. It really warms my cold, dead heart to finally see people taking this shit seriously and, you know, whatever. But I want to rent a party bus and I want to go around because I live in Houston and I live in a fairly, you know, middle class, upper middle class kind of area. But there's a lot of the Houston place that is not. I will gladly drive around and pick people up in my rolling party bus and take them to the polls. That would be awesome. Fun.
That would be fun.
Maybe so, get Nerdy Bitches to sponsor it in 4 years. So yes, you guys need to help sponsor us so that we can do these things. That'd be great.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying at the beginning about they had said that there might be what they were calling a red mirage because mm-hmm. in general, a lot of places would do the in-person results and then do the mail-in results. Yeah. And the mail-in results were prominently Democrat because Biden wasn't scaring the shit out of his constituents.
Right. They're like, please stay home. Mail the ballot.
Yeah, they're like, it's like, you know, it's safer. Mm-hmm. So I had heard this, but still. I was like, yeah. So the Saturday before, I went to Newport Beach because my mom was in town at a timeshare, and we went and ate at an outdoor restaurant there. And there was some kind of Trump parade on the water.
Yes.
And by the way, if you have a yacht with a Trump sign, makes sense, okay?
Right.
But a lot of these little skiffs were
or
like,
a tiny, shitty fishing boat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but like, it was like these little skits. These people are not benefiting from this.
No,
but whatever.
Not at all.
That was just a side note. I don't have either boat, so I guess it doesn't make any difference. But anyway, so I was starting to kind of get, and I had been right. Is that this like vocal majority of people are just out there and just crazy Trump people? As we went to go visit my mom, we went through a Trump rally, and mm-hmm. it was. It wasn't big. It just, you know, we drove her through it. And then, you know, there was this poor little guy about a block and a half down with a little sign that said, fuck Trump. And he was all by himself.
I love that.
And so I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm starting to get like more and more worried and I'm worried. And then, you know, it's election day and the results start coming in and there's just red everywhere. And I was like, oh my God. And
yeah, great Texas.
You know, I heard that Pennsylvania is doing their in-person voting first. And I was like, really? I got my little hopes up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that was election day one.
Yeah, I stayed away from the TV for the entirety of election day. I don't want to know. I can't. Yeah.
All right. So election day one was doom. So here's my quote of the day for election day one. It's on Twitter. Kristen Mortensen. She actually put tens in her name on her, in her handle, but you can just Google her. But nonetheless, says, my friend from high school unfollowed me after my Trump hating post. So now I can freely say that she has the ugliest baby I've ever seen.
Right.
So I was up almost all of election night. I mean, I tried to sleep. I could not sleep. So I would get up. I was waiting for Michigan to turn blue because I heard that it was going to happen. And so I'm on Reddit and I'm refreshing and refreshing, and there chunks of votes are coming in at like 500 at a time. And I'm just refreshing and refreshing, refreshing. And then I fell asleep for a second, got up like 2 hours later, and it was blue. And I was like, yay. I was so happy. I was like, oh, anyway, just watching Michigan flip blue made me very happy.
Yeah, my anxiety level for the last couple of weeks has been really, really high. And I've been waking up anxious, which is the weirdest thing in the world. I'm like, I was literally asleep 2 seconds ago. You cannot get more relaxed than asleep. Yeah. Why am I anxious? And so I just have had to avoid all of this. I'm like, listen, I voted. The polls are closed. There's nothing I can do to, you know, but stress myself out trying to really keep. And that's the problem. Like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter all have like a button right at the top. It's like election results. They're not here yet. However, click this button 74 times a day. And I clicked it several times, but I'm like, you know what? I can't keep stressing on this. And, you know, I'd see little things here and there. I'm like, okay, so things are maybe going to turn. Something's going on with Nevada. Sure, sure. Okay. So, yeah. So, I really had to stay apart from it.
And normally, I try and avoid, you know, that's my go-to, right? With RBG, I cried and then just avoided any news. Like, because I just had such a tough time with it. But the election was kind of like my last straw. And honestly, I'd already lost hope. Because this many people voting for Trump. Look, if you hate the man, but you're Republican, this is the time to opt out.
Right.
Just don't vote. Do not put, you know, 60 some odd million people voted for him. Like, really? That was just like, it's like, hey, I'm fiscally conservative, so racism, fine by me. Like, it's just, those two don't go together, right? Like, these are different political views. You know, we're okay with this dictator that is okay saying whatever he wanted, even if it's blatantly false.
Or saying it's just locker room talk, or it's just me lying my face off, or people don't know how to read.
Or Obama started the concentration camps. Yeah, that sounds like what he did.
Sure he did.
Yeah. He started the concentration camps 2 years after he left.
He also was in charge of Hurricane Katrina 3 years before he was elected. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, just, this is not our leader, right? Mm-hmm. We're in a republic. You vote for who you want to be your leader. If this is not your guy and Biden's not your guy, vote for that chick, or do not vote for somebody, because or write somebody. That's what I would do. I'd write in somebody, you know. But if you just can't bring your conscience to vote for a Democrat, at least just don't vote for Trump.
Right.
And the fact that people still hit this party line is really bothersome to me. By the way, we're saying the general consensus of the Trumpsters is that we stole the election, but they're all fine with, by the way, the Senate and the House elections. Like, right. You know, they're on those the same ballot, fine. Right? You know, like,
I love this rhetoric that has happened over the last year, especially that now Democrats or liberal leaning people are somehow evil, plotting, mastermind, genius terrorists, when like 3 years ago, we were dopey, sad, tree-hugging little snowflakes. Like, which is it, folks? Because I really don't think you can be both.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? It's like, Democrats, you think they got their shit together to do all this conspiracy? Because I promise you, they don't. They don't even know, like, their number one thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we can't even save the tree that we hugged. So exactly. I don't think that's the thing. But I think the problem is we need new words, because the word conservative, like, I grew up, my family is very conservative. They're very Republican. They, you know, all the things that make me want to gag. A lot of my family is really in for that. And I grew up that way. And so the first time I voted, that's how I voted, because that's what I knew. That's what my family did, until I learned to actually think about the issues. I had one uncle. My dad's one brother was a Democrat. He's passed away, unfortunately. But he was a screaming, liberal, tree-hugging, pot-smoking, delightful, amazing human. But he and I sat down one time and just had this long conversation. He's like, why are you the only person in the family I can talk to? I was like, because I'm willing to listen to what you have to say, and you have great points. Yeah. And so then I started voting different.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You learn better, you do better, whatever it is. But I think the word conservative is where we're getting a lot of people confused, because they're thinking, oh, I'm conservative. That means I'm – like, it somehow equates to good. Like, I'm good person because I'm conservative. I have family values. I was like, what do you think we have? We're all, like, just throwing babies into traffic? Like, what? Yeah, I don't understand. But I think we need a better word, because what conservative in this case really means politically is that we are not challenging the status quo. We don't want things to change. In order to change, things have to get messy. That's how life works. But to be conservative in this is, we're not going to spend more. We're not going to give these people rights because we just don't need to. And I think that's the problem. I think the wording is tripping people up.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people who are on that side of the aisle, but they are much more centrist. They are much more moderate. They're people you can – they believe the same thing. They think people getting shot in their bed is a nightmare. They think people murdering people on TV is a terrible idea. But this is the word that we have to go with. So we need better words.
That's a very good point. And you're absolutely right about this, that we're okay with the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be okay with the status quo? Anyway, beside the point. Now,
the status quo sucks.
Keep in mind, though, that I'm fairly centrist.
I'm centrist as well. I mean, we are moderate. We are not hugging any trees. I hate nature. I'm not going outside. I don't want the world to end, and I don't want global warming to destroy me. But I'm not going to go sit in the grass and sing Kumbaya. It's not a thing.
I thought I was very, very liberal, and it turned out that I was living in Utah. Apparently,
that does tend to skew the bar, I think.
Yeah, apparently, you like the difference. So, like, honestly, and this was back when nothing was as polarized as that. It's like the difference between a Democrat and a Republican in Utah was that Democrats didn't think that you should take guns to church. And the Republicans are like, I can take them wherever the fuck I want. That was the difference. And so, like, so yeah, I'm liberal. I don't think you should bring your gun to church.
Yeah. I am pro no guns at church. But in Utah, I'm guessing it's white enough that you could probably shoot up an entire church and still be peacefully taken into custody.
Probably. Anyway, so election day two. Now, my internet quote for election day two is actually a meme, and I just have to describe it to y'all because apparently that's how podcasts work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you can also send these to me and I can put them in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Okay.
We do have a lovely website at nerdybitches.com. Yeah. So you should go check it out.
It is an excellent, and that nobody goes to.
Nobody goes to it. I spend so much time working on this website.
I know.
Nobody goes to it. It's a cute site.
Yeah. So the meme is, it just says, every news outlet, it looks like Biden will win. Okay. And then it says me, and it's a picture of Jeremy Renner in Endgame, and he's saying, don't do that. Don't tell me there's hope.
Right. Oh. His Ronin look there.
Yes, the Ronin look. I forgot his name. You know, I forget everybody's name. I'm not good at names. Anyway, so that was election day two. But there's also one other one that I decided to add. And this one, I'm giving her name because she made it public and still hasn't taken it down. So this is on Facebook. Person named Molly Adams publicly puts, if Biden wins, I'm leaving the U.S. and going to Hawaii. Vote red, assholes. So she's a special kind of stupid, right? But so there's, you know, we know the obvious problem. Hawaii is in America. And right. number two, Hawaii is blue as fuck.
Right.
So
all in the ocean by itself. If you look at that map, it is so blue. It's like, blah, blah, blah. They're like, we like our beaches and our meth. We're big fans in Hawaii of that. But yeah, I had a friend who also was like, we're moving. We're going to leave. We're going to move. We're going to move to, I don't remember where she said, somewhere elsewhere. Or Alaska. And I was like, you do realize Alaska's still America, right? Like,
yeah.
I know it's up on the top of the world and everything, but yeah, it's still
honestly,
here.
Yeah. But I was feeling slightly optimistic about the election that time, but I'm still not.
You didn't even talk about what happened on day two, even on day one, where Trump's like, polls are closed, stop counting, we're done, we win. I was like,
Yeah, and
what?
Then it was like,
you
don't understand
how any of this works.
Yeah, day two, by the way, stop the count. Like, you understand if you stop the count right now, Biden just won.
Right.
Dipshit.
Oh, and these memes of the count from Sesame Street, like, what I do? And I'm like, oh my God, that's the greatest thing in the
world.
Know,
I love that. Like, that's he's Trump villain number one, the count.
Mm-hmm. The count. Well, you know, Mitt Romney was trying to kill Big Bird, so.
Yeah, Big Bird survived. Anyway, I'm not talking bad about Mitt Romney today.
I don't think you can at this point.
I love Mitt. anyway, I love him today. I mean, I fight with him a lot. You know, we chat, and I tell him. I'll text him every once in a while. I'll be like, WTF, Mitt, come on.
Right, I know. It's me having full conversations with Ted Cruz. I'm like,
Actually, so I sent a nasty gram to Cornyn when I was one of his constituents.
I sent him one recently.
And he replied to me and he said, yeah, I don't agree with you. Transgender people are going to rape our children. And I was like, okay.
They're not.
Thanks for that. Anyway, so now he took that as an endorsement of his policies, and now he put me on the Trump list, and like Trump keeps sending me texts. Like,
yeah,
hey,
I didn't get that. I sent him a nasty gram about this bitch in the Supreme Court that they just put
into
place.
Oh, yeah, you won't get on that list for another couple of years, but all of a sudden I got on it.
Ugh, gross.
I don't understand why he can't separate the people that like him versus things. You know how many nasty grams I sent back to the Trump campaign?
Yeah. You know what, though? That sounds like a wonderful way to antagonize your enemy.
Anyway, okay. But election day three, there were started to be signs. Now that we're starting to count the votes of places with people that live there.
right.
Holy shit. People apparently like to vote for Biden. So that was kind of nice. So we started to see that more and more. And for some reason, Nevada, with their fucking, 300,000 people, could not vote. I know. I think they have 3 million, but whatever.
And so, if you look at their map, it's like Reno blue, Vegas blue. Everything else is red.
Yeah. But, you know, like my dad lives there in one of those places in the middle of nowhere. Yep. There literally is. It is in the middle of nowhere. It's right next to Death
Valley.
There's
like 12 people in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And tell that to the freaking Republicans. They're like, look at all of this red space. Why is there counting? I was like, because nobody lives in the red space. Nobody wants to live in the red space.
See, that's the thing that annoys me about Texas. Now, we do have a ton of people in the in-between spaces. So that is an issue. But last election and this election, pretty much every one of the major cities and two, maybe three of those major cities are in like the top 10 list of major, like largest cities in the country, or like top 15 or whatever. They're all blue, like royal blue, not even a little light blue or slightly purple. No, they're blue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's usually how it is. So like
that, we still go red.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's what's so frustrating. Okay. So God tweeted, you know how. You've seen
God
Twitter
is want to do. Yes.
It's my favorite. So he tweeted, you think that the people from Nevada would be good at sitting at a table and counting.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and so then, but this is the thing, is everybody was freaking afraid to call the election because the president was suing everybody that, you know, even thought about a shade of blue. And he already put so much doubt in the American people by already claiming victory and stuff. And so really the only resolution, I guess, to that was to not call the state. I don't know why, but it was very frustrating. And there was a lot of statistical reasons for it. I was reading all that shit and It's boring.
But also, so, we've seen him actively retaliate against people who have spoken out against him, you know, and especially with COVID, states that had, you know, had governors or whoever who spoke against him, he penalized them. Yeah. And so that's, you know, and this, you know, it's just like, this is like the world's worst HR department. We've just got this one guy running amok, treating everybody like shit. And everybody's like, okay, well, I don't really, I mean, that's not good. And that's illegal. And that's whatever. But he's still my boss? Question mark. So I don't know. And I've been going on a very large rant lately about the difference between leaders and elective representatives, which is what our people are supposed to be. They are supposed to be representatives of the people, not our glorious leaders.
Yeah, theoretically.
And if they were, we would have hired a president who actually had some governing experience, but we did not. Mm-hmm. So we need to, I don't know. I just feel like we need to get back to that bit of fundamentalist thinking there.
That much. It's just as long as, you know,
I think it's just a difference.
He's like the anonymous internet. He is the leader of the anonymous internet, and there's a shit ton of people that love the anonymous internet.
Yes, trolls.
And so that's it. He brought all the trolls out from hiding. So, like, yeah, they got their leader. That's who they wanted. Whatever.
Well, it'd be nice if they took him and went somewhere else.
I know. That'd be nice. Can't they make like a Trump island? You know that little island off of on the way to Galveston that guy just like claimed as his own?
Yeah, I don't want him in Galveston. But I just like somewhere, there's got to be some island in the South Pacific. But there would be, there would be brown people there. So that would be a problem. But
anyway, no, I was talking about that, like that Rick's Cabaret that's on his own designated land.
Oh my God, that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. Okay, so here's the quote for this day. What day is this? Day four. In fact, actually, it says it in the tweet. So it's at Turt Woldridge on Twitter. Day four of this hostage crisis, and Wolf Blitzer just felt the need to tell us how many electoral votes are needed to win. Motherfucker, I know the name of the registrar in Clark County, Nevada, how to pronounce every town in Georgia, and where every Republican in Arizona lives.
Right.
Because, I mean, by that time, we've just been staring at this going, why are no results coming in? And you can see him climbing. And then, you know, I'm getting all pissed off at Georgia because Georgia is like, and the person that updates the website went home. And I'm like, you're allowing people to leave? How dare you?
I'm like, nope. Is this like a jury sequestering situation here? We need to get this shit done.
Yeah. So we were just sitting waiting for one other state to be called on day four. And it didn't happen. In fact, Biden went out and had a speech on Thursday night because he thought that it was, or I mean, no, it was Friday. I don't know. Whatever. They're all blend together now. Because it was supposed to be his big, hey, we won, but no states called. So he couldn't say that. And so he was just came out and said, we're going to win. And we're like, yay. Just kind of.
You know, we're like, sure, we are.
Yeah, there's still time.
So. Yeah, I think Friday is the day I woke up going, huh, this might actually, because I was just convinced that like last time, or it was going to be so close that we would end up with the electorate and the popular being flopped like they were before. And that has not been the case. I was like, oh, look at that. Popular vote and electorate. Interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Also, where does the electoral people come from? I don't know.
I actually knew this at one time because I know like the delegates, how they get, they're kind of voted by the people or like assigned.
I've never voted for that or heard anything about that. I don't even know.
Yeah, but I don't think the electors are and then there's also the concern. That's the next concern. Is a faithless elector. Anyway, two could be continued. So, all right. So here's another quote on this day. So now by the end of Saturday, which is day five, fucking Pennsylvania finally called it. And I was so happy.
That wasn't even end of the day. That was
it was early. It was actually
1 o'clock in the afternoon. Cause right after I woke up, I started getting texts and calls and one from you. And I was like, okay, you sent me, I think I know what we should talk about. And there's just a picture of a happy Biden. And I was like, oh, please, 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 please make it so. Please make it so.
I was so happy. And, you know, once, I mean, there were other cable news networks that had it said, but nothing that was legitimate, right?
Right.
And then, so CNN called it, Associated Press called it, and they're kind of a pain in the ass. And about 30 minutes later, finally, Fox News called it.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yep. So thank God. And it was, I breathed a little sigh of relief.
I was so happy that it wasn't even close on the electoral votes. It was like, yeah, that's a huge disparity. Like that's,
yeah.
I did keep seeing this one meme that popped up or something. It was like, listen, I'm going to get to 270 before the election does. So
yeah.
Like,
oh, I saw that eating. Too.
I'm like, yeah, yeah. That's going to be a thing.
Okay. So here's my two quotes for election day. Number one, from Victor Laval at Twitter, said, no one is enjoying their meal at Cracker Barrel today. Which is terrible because I actually kind of enjoyed Cracker Barrel, but you know.
I hate Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Unless they want to sponsor the show and then they're delightful.
All right. And this next quote, nobody actually took credit for it. It just was, you know, like when we put those blocks mm-hmm. and just talking. It says, I've posted some terrible things about Donald Trump as president. I just wanted to say that I meant all of it.
Right. Exactly. Every last word. I did one the night before. I jumped on the Nevada train and I was just kind of like, everyone, well, Nevada, you're not my real mom. Like that's... It's kind of how that one felt for me. So.
Yeah, I saw a couple where it was Nevada and Georgia going, I'm not going to call it. Then Georgia's like, I'm not going to call it. And they're like, let's just wait for Pennsylvania.
I saw the best one this morning and I don't remember where it is. And so I'm going to fuck it up. And it basically just said, okay, Nevada, you can stop looking through your purse. We've gone ahead and paid your bill.
Nice. All right. So that is the election. So we have an elected leader, theoretically, and
we now have the first female vice president.
Yep.
The first person of color as vice president. And the first person of Asian descent.
Yeah. And I think she's also the first person that is a child of immigrants.
Mm.
So she checks a lot of boxes.
I
think she's my senator, so I don't know who's going to be my senator now.
I don't know. Yeah. Somebody blue?
It will be. I mean, we're in a blue state, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, and it's funny because I'm hearing so many people, I'm going to move. And I was like, these are the same people who were laughing at all of us who were crying last time, mm-hmm. saying, why don't you just move away? And I'm like, yeah, now I'm saying, why don't you just move away? But that, I don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is we need to get our shit together.
Yeah. So. I'm very inspired by her and the fact that, you know, she's a female and vice president, mm-hmm. obviously a woman of color, which makes it, you know, she has to prove herself so much more. And so it really makes me really happy. And I've always said that representation matters. And even as little
it
as
something does.
Like in the movies,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that obviously means a lot, but just in real life, when everybody kind of gets together and we're like, yes,
well,
this is accepted. This is normal. And this is not weird.
Well, that's the thing though. You and I probably grew up in the first real you can do and be whatever you want generation, like mm-hmm. the tail end of Gen X. My parents told me that constantly. You can be whatever you want when you grow up. You could be the president of the United States. You could be an astronaut. Now, I don't know if they believed any of this shit, but they said it. And I remember them saying it a lot. But we didn't see a lot. I mean, there weren't at the time even a lot of lady astronauts. We had
Sally Reed was the first one, and that was what, 80s? Late 80s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. But I just, you know, like we have you know, we didn't have a lot to really look at in this, you can be what you want to be. Now we do. We have someone who has now been elected to this, you know, second highest position in the United States. We have someone we can look at and say, look, you really can be whatever you want to be.
So imagine, you know, we're sitting here as white women talking about how important seeing women in mm-hmm. high roles are. Imagine a woman of color, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's even more not seen, and which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's an image that's going around right now, and I think the shadow of it comes from Norman Rockwell, and I'm pretty sure it's Ruby Bridges, mm-hmm. you know, going to her first day of school, being walked to her first day of school. So the shadow is on the wall, and then the person casting the shadow walking is Kamala Harris. And it's yeah. just, it's like, yes, that right there is what we need to see. It was beautiful.
So yeah, we've just been so used to seeing kind of this cookie cutter repeating of what we're expected to see as a leader. And mm-hmm. now that's changed. And I feel heartened by it. I'm very happy about it. But that being said, there's
stuff to do.
There's a lot of stuff to do. And the fact that 50% of the country voted the way that they voted shows that there is a huge issue with what's acceptable and not.
Yeah, I'll say that when I did get the news yesterday, and I like very cringingly went on to Facebook thinking, oh my God, this is going to be a shit show. I was actually pleasantly surprised, at least in my timeline, that it wasn't. That, you know, the people who were very excited were doing it in a grateful, understated way, like very, they weren't being shitheads and gloating and rubbing things in.
Oh, you didn't see my suck it snowflake post? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't write it.
I was gonna say, I must have missed that one. But for the most part, what I saw were people being very happy. That Van Jones tweet that I sent you yesterday had me in tears, and just beautiful, beautiful things. And then, and like one of my friends is, I love her. She is so outspoken and has been on the down with Trump thing every minute of every day for the last 4 years. She was even like, all right, friends, we know what you're feeling. You know, like she was being very cool about it. She was not rubbing it in. Nobody was being hateful. And I saw several of my friends who I know vote red who said, okay, so, you know, we've been talking a lot about the election with our kids. And so what we did this morning is we sat down and we said, like to our little girls, look at who's in the White House now. Look at who is going to be there. You can do anything. And I thought that was a beautiful way to look at it. Is instead of being upset or being hateful or letting your kids hear this terrible rhetoric, is going back to that belief that there's always going to be somebody that we don't like. However, we need to look at what the good in this is as best we can. Now, there hasn't seemed to have been a lot of good in the last 4 years, but I think that's because we had someone who actually wasn't even trying, you know?
Yeah. And we saw dancing in the streets, and we saw fireworks in London, and we saw, I mean, dancing in the streets of not just Philadelphia, where they finally announced, and New York City, Washington, D.C. There was nothing in Orange County.
Right. You're locked down.
It was raining, you know, it was locked down. Yeah. No.
I live in the burbs. You see nothing here. So
yeah. But
I have to drive 40 miles to get into town to see anything. So.
We did hear somebody honk, and we're like, oh, that's probably for Biden. But I'm sure they were just mad about somebody like stopping all the way to stop sign or something.
Right. But. Yeah. I would like to see if my sister's neighbors have all taken their shitty Trump signs out of the yard because they're horrible every time.
Keep them up.
And then like I was there election night, and I was like, we're leaving the TV off, yo, because issues. And Maddie was like, what is that noise? What is somebody playing their radio really loud? So her next door neighbors were doing their own Trump parade. Just them. God. And like one in a golf cart and one in a truck. Just wandering the streets, blasting music. And I'm like, okay. So if I do that today, how's that going to feel? Like, it's just, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, for the first little bit on election day, Texas was blue. And I was like, motherfucker turned blue after I left. And
you're like, time to move back. Let's go.
I was like, uh-oh. Lower I think I told somebody living. I'd Lower get a tattoo if it ever shifted blue.
Hey, I'll do that. Let's put it out there right now.
But, you know, immediately it flipped red, you know, after they started counting in the, because they did mail-ins first, from what I understand.
Yeah. And, so we could just get a little pair of glasses tattooed.
Yeah. That'd be cute, actually.
That would be really cute. Somebody design that for us and send it.
Well, Texas needs to turn blue first.
Well, we can have a design in ready. I got it already. It would be Texas with a pair of glasses.
Yeah. But, you know, I noticed that nobody in the Trump campaign was saying that that was curious. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, hey, of course not.
Hey,
they're like, don't worry. Texas we bought blue. Texas a long time ago. Yeah. It's fine. It'll pan out in the wash.
You know, so. And I was like, I think Texas has like 39 electoral votes.
Mm-hmm. No anyway. One ever cares about us, though, because they're like, eh, it's always going to be red.
Yeah, you know what you're getting. That's like but California. Like, hey, they already know what they're getting.
If I can figure out who these elector people are, maybe we can figure out what to do about that.
So. Yeah, you're going to turn into Trump pretty soon.
Anyway. No, I don't mean that. I mean in an actual voting and learning issues kind of way. Oh. He would never do that. So, okay, let's take another break. And then when we come back, we can talk about moving forward and kind of our final thoughts on this episode of 2020 is a dumpster fire.
Yep.
Hey everybody, Brian here, host of the Bri-Fi podcast. And if you're looking for a podcast that reviews comic books, talks about nifty nerd news, and sometimes has interruptions from his wife or son, then look no further than the Bri-Fi podcast. New episodes are updated every Monday, and if you want bonus content, you can sign up for Patreon for as little as $1 a month, where you get extra episodes, videos, and more behind the scenes of the Bri-Fi podcast. So don't go another day without the Bri-Fi podcast in your life. Head over to bri-fi-podcast.podbean.com and enlist in the Bri-Fighter Squadron today.
Hey everybody, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from movies. And
tonight,
like every night, we bring you questionable movies and pass the lessons that we've learned on to you, as well as we go over some great beer and funny third thing.
Yes, we're excellent beer reviewers, and as BJCP certified beer judges, we sort of know what we're talking about in regards to that. The movies?
So if you want to hear us talk about odd movies and is he talking about BJing, listen to us at eilfm.podbean.com. That's Everything I Learned from movies.podbean.com.
Hey honey, are you ready to pop that top? Woo, my top.
All right, and we are back again.
Yes.
So what are we looking at moving forward? Like, this is great. We've had our celebration, but the real issue here is this is not the world is not going to go to happy fun time just because Biden won the election. As much as I would love to think that's true. First of all, he doesn't even get to take office until, you know, end of friggin' January. And two, there's just too much. There's so much stuff that has been going on, that has been allowed to go on, that has been encouraged to go on. And we're a mess. And it's not even just like, oh, this person was taunting people, so they became horrible humans. No, no. We've had horrible humans that were in hiding. Now they're not. And we can't stuff that genie back into the bottle. So there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah. But the Senate is going to basically still be Republican.
Yes.
The House is going to be less Democrat. So actually that kind of makes me a little more hopeful, because it does sound like people were still voting Republican and then voted Biden.
Yeah.
That's the only slight glimmer of hope I have. Mm-hmm. Because honest to God, if, you know, Democrats were fucking with the election, Mitch McConnell would not still be there.
No. That little nasty troll would be gone.
But there are systematic problems in this country where we can let somebody be the type of person that Trump is and still have such a level of power and have his actions be acceptable. There's also still a huge systematic racism problem. And even if you are not racist, you are still part of the system that is racist.
Yeah, we've said it before. We benefit from that every single day. Whether it's something we want or even know about, it happens every single day. And we have to help figure it out. I don't even know. And that's the thing. I think it's such a big problem. Nobody knows where to start.
And you don't know how to do it, right? I'm hoping that there's going to be task force and reform. And, you know, like even Biden said, I had an idea. It did not work. And it made it worse. And so there's going to be this going back and forth to see how we can improve. And the problem is, this is not a throw the baby out with the bathwater. If something is tried and worked, or maybe worked in a division that did not scale up properly, that doesn't mean that the effort itself is not valid. And, right. You run into that a lot where people are like, oh, we tried that. We tried that female director. So, mm-hmm.
Obviously,
I'm talking about something completely different, but
but that's the same thing. It's the same issue of, well, what are you whining about? We replaced one, female Supreme Court justice with another. Yes, you put one in that has the complete opposite, who's going to take advantage of what this one did and destroy it. Yeah. Like, that's just replacing one vagina with another is not the answer. You know what I mean? Like, you have to. But yeah, I agree with you. And I think this is one thing that the anti-science people like to say all the time. They're like, ugh, well, they tried this and they were wrong. So obviously science doesn't work. I was like, actually, that's exactly how science works. Yeah, science every time. Works
by improving you, on its previous
You try something and it either works or it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you take the things that didn't work, you remove them, and you start on something different, or you move in a different direction. And they're not trying to prove that's the thing. Like, we're not saying this is the answer. We're saying we need to find the answer, and these are the things we're going to do to get to the answer.
Yeah.
And some things are going to work and some things aren't. And you have to get rid of the ones that don't, like not vaccinating your children, and do the things that do, like vaccinating your children.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't even have to whisper that part. Like, that's dumb. I shouldn't have to tell people in this day and age that the world is fucking round.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Or slightly off round, but whatever.
Yeah. But I'm optimistic for the new leadership. I don't know how the transition's going to be. By the way, if I was part of the White House Historical Society, the charity, I'd be getting everything of value out of that place.
Everything.
He's going to be torching it and stealing it.
I have so many, maybe I watch too many movies. I just have so many images in my mind of what is going to happen and him not relinquishing anything. Like, they're going to have to drag him out, like, with a military escort. He's going to do something, or he's going to push some button, or something's going to happen, because that's what a tantruming toddler does. And that's how he behaves. I'm not saying he is one, but the way he gets on Twitter and calls people names. Like, what? I mean, even the shittiest political leaders in the world don't do that. Really? Who else does that? Who else sits around and calls somebody Sleepy Joe or, whatever. I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Or Ted Cruz. He called my wife ugly, so vote for him.
Let me vote for him. That sounds great and smart. He tried to have me deported to Canada. Sure, sure.
So here is my quote for going forward. It's a Twitter quote from @ShushyLives. Everyone is celebrating, but, like, I don't know, man. It kind of feels like a horror movie where the monster just died, but there's still, like, 20 minutes left in the runtime.
Like the Meg.
Yep.
We killed the shark. We're not even halfway through the movie. I wonder what's going to happen next. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with that one. I am cautiously optimistic. I am very excited about, I'm very proud of a lot of our country for, because again, in the 2016 election, I think 50% of Americans just didn't bother to vote.
I can see why they didn't like the two options.
I did it once, and I will never do it again.
Why didn't they do it in this year? Because I didn't want to see people voting for Trump.
Right. Well,
those
aren't the people who were abstaining. The people who were abstaining were the disenfranchised, middle class, and poor. Yeah. Like, why should I go vote? Because my vote doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter because it's an electoral college. Well, guess what? Your vote matters. And if you get out and do the thing, let your voice be heard. Whether it's a shitty voice or not, you have the right to do it. Let's do it before we don't have the right to do it anymore. Yeah.
And by the way, California, Pennsylvania, a bunch of us are losing electoral seats once the census goes through and, everything. So there's every 10 years, there's kind of a new map and a new set of states in play.
Yep. Well, we have to get people who are stuck out of their red, blue, and get into who is the best person to represent me and my or not just me, but our, you know, us as a society, we have to get out of the what's in it for me mentality, yeah. Which is, I think, again, why most people don't bother.
The people that think that Donald Trump is in it for you, he tried to get rid of your vote. I mean,
he tried to deport a lot of people. He tried to villainize a lot of people.
He called the military fucking losers.
Yeah. He said that all Mexican people were rapists. Like, what? And then he grabs some lady by the pussy. I'm like, you know, my sister's next door neighbor has a sign, women for Trump. And apparently another one that says veterans for Trump. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, why though?
Yeah, it's just the two realities are very hard to connect. Now, I understand that a lot of these Trumpsters, the ones that we see and that are vocal, are kind of like the Al-Qaeda of the GOP.
Right. But you can't allow it to continue.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's like we can't let the worst of us speak for the most of us. That's true with any extremist. Yeah. That's true with anybody. It's true with the super extreme alt, you know, the super extreme left. We can't have any of that. We need to get down to what is for the good of the people. And the good of the people is not the good of the rich and few.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. We have to take that influence away and give the power back to the people who are supposed to have it. Yeah. That's, you know, if you watch Hamilton, that's the whole point.
Yeah, except for all of the people in Hamilton.
Except for
Lafayette, terrible. Are people pieces of shit. No, Hamilton's a piece of shit, too.
No. Yeah. I was saying, yeah. Except Hamilton is garbage. But that's still the thing. They still did that. They, you know, they're going through exactly what we've been going through right now, minus the war just yet. But I'm just saying.
Oh, and George Washington. Obviously, George Washington.
Well, he was a terrible military leader leading up to that, so. There's issues.
I don't know. I'm not in the military, so I can't say. I don't know anything about military.
He even sings about it in the damn movie.
Yeah.
But I think we just have to get away from the status quo. The status quo sucks. And it's like, you know, it's like the debt thing, right? Everybody says, oh, I got to keep up with the Joneses. And Dave Ramsey says, yeah, but the Joneses are broke. Like, you're going broke to try to keep up with people who are living a fake life. So we got to stop idealizing the things and aiming for the things. And we have to deal with the problems that we actually have.
Yeah. I find that when I'm like, you know, $3 billion in debt, people should look up to me as a beacon of what to do with
financial
money.
Security. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I only filed bankruptcy like 17 times and I don't pay my contractors, but whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Why would you? Yes. I saw another quote that said, I think the White House movers need to insist on getting their money up front.
Exactly. Like,
right. Anyway. So yeah, there's a lot of jokes at Trump's expense, but the fact is we have a ton of work to do.
Yeah.
And
we do.
We have to all, it's not just the responsibility of the people in those buildings to make it happen. Like we have to stand up for injustice. We have to stand up for what's right, stand up for our neighbors and do what's called of us to do. Yeah. We can't just ignore it.
Yeah. And we need to remember that, you know, in 2 years, a Senate election is very important. And in 4 years, we don't know who's going to be running for president. I think Biden said he wasn't going to run for re-election.
And he'll be 112 by then. So
yeah, I know. It's like, I don't know if we can get somebody older elected.
But, I bet we could try.
Yeah, we could try. Like, I mean, we keep just going older and older. I remember back when Ronald Reagan was the oldest, and then Trump's like, hold my beer. And then Biden's like, and here
we did. We did elect a nice, young, hip Obama. So.
Yeah, we did. We did. So, I think that we're only going to have 4 years before we kind of know how this shakes out. So,
well, that's the thing. Nothing's going to happen as quickly as we'd all love it to. Mm-hmm. That's just not how any of this works. And thank God for that. Because if it did work that fast,
we
would be in a much worse place than we are right now.
And I think that this whiplash that we had with Trump, what happens is it's not good. But, you know, executive branch can't keep up. That nobody can keep up with this drastic changing.
We've gotten so far away from our appropriate checks and balances that we really need to.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yep. So anyway, I just want to give you guys some reminders here. If you'd like to support the show, because we love to continue bringing the show to you, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/nerdybitches. we have a thing going on right now, when it has been for a while, where if you are at least a $2 patron, you can give us a topic and we will cover it at some point randomly. Yeah. And give you your shout outs. So we'd love your help there. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that, but you could also do a one-time donation to our PayPal. Our email for that is contactus@nerdybitches.com. Also, we have our store, our fun merchandise store, where you can support us. You can also support other indie authors. If you go to nerdybitches.com/store, you'll see what we have curated into our store, but you can also see the wealth of what TeePublic has to offer, because there's some really cool shit out there. We also have a new affiliate that we're working with. I don't even know if I've told you this, Heather. We are supporting our very awesome friend, Izzy, from Everything I Learned from Movies. She is a spectacular artist, and she has a site on Etsy. It is untidyvenus.etsy.com. So apparently that is a goddess that is bad at housekeeping, Untidy Venus. And if you can go and check out the breadth of her work there. She has buttons, she has t-shirts, she has all sorts of cool stuff, artwork on there that she has done. If you use code NERDY, NERDY, when you check out, you will get 15% off of your entire order. So definitely go support our friend Izzy.
I love her stuff. She also does, like, you know, she's obviously an excellent artist, and
yes,
love her little enamel pins and stuff. Yep. But she also does, like, some very cool artsy little tea towels and things like that. And I got a couple of them, and I just love them. I just, you know, I like to keep, you know, you only have so much wall space, right? So you
well,
keep,
that's
like,
the thing.
Art,
like,
everywhere, you know.
Her art also has a lot of nerdy connotations to it, which is fun. So you actually got me one of her arts that one time. That was Predator Loves Kittens.
Yeah.
It's adorable, so cute. Her stuff is amazing. So make sure you go and check out our awesome friend Izzy and support her work at untidyvenus.etsy.com and use the code NERDY for 15% off of your entire order. And after that, you need to check out, because they are also part of this group, check out our friends at ageofradio.org. This is our new podcast network, and we are so excited to be a part of the fray.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready for the final internet quote of the week?
Yes.
All right. Well, Trump got the whole 2020 experience. He got COVID, lost his job, and he's about to be evicted.
Amen.
Yeah.
That about sums it up, yo.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's call it a 2020, and then we'll be back for 2020's A Dumpster Pile Part 4. Hopefully, it's at least 3 months from now.
Well, that would be 2021 at that point.
It's still 2020. Like, everything, it's all fruit just the from 2020s. The poison trees.
I've heard from a friend who is heavy into astrology that the next 4 years are probably going to be crap, but she's also votes red, so who knows? Anyway.
So did she say that before or after the election?
Before. I was like, yo, that's terrible. And now she's like, oh, that's terrible. So I don't know. I don't know how to read any of that, and I don't know what retrograde means.
I think that I don't need any kind of proof that it's going to be terrible. I think that we've seen part one.
Mm-hmm. So we'll just call this the 2020s are a dumpster fire, shall we?
Yeah, I think that this will be a continuing series for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And that's okay.
These are our only non-evergreen episodes, though. Like, most of our episodes are, you know, you can listen to them no matter what. But these ones are kind of time-centric.
Mm-hmm.
Side note.
Day in the life, nerdy bitches. So, all right, well, we'll see you guys next time.
Music provided by www.bensound.com, and please email feedback to contactus@nerdybitches.com.